This is Meet the Residents, a series of interviews with AMAM's artists in residence, in which we speak and digress about research, the impact of context on artistic process, serendipity, and making community. AMAM is a non-profit arts organization and residency in North Brooklyn. Our studios are at 306 Mauger, where we host four artists for 3 months. One cohort in fall, and another one in spring. My name is Sarah Demuse. I'm your host and AMAM's head of publications. This is our fall 2022 season. Today, I'm with Valentina Desideri and Denise Ferreira da Silva, who work together as the Sensing Salon.
Valentina and Denise, thanks so much for being here. This is our second season, and I'm very excited to be starting with you both. Tell us quickly, where did you join us from?
I joined you from Vancouver, Canada, Western Canada.
And I'm from living in Lisbon at the moment.
Excellent. So I guess the first question that I have for you two is, how did you two start working together, doing something so precise, having your own practices, living in different places? So it would be great to kind of understand how all of that worked and maybe now is intensified in some way or another.
I can start. So when we started working together, we're both living in Europe. I was living in London in the UK, and Valentina was living in France at PAF. And we met in Italy, of all places, at the France Fanon conference.
Huh.
And we were having dinner, and Valentina was telling me about her practice, fake therapy and political therapy. And also, she was doing some research on Charlotte Wolfe on Palm Street.
Mm-hmm.
And you can continue.
And then Denise was having a double life as an academic and a secret life as a tarot reader and astrologer, herbal healing and Reiki. So, of course, we became friends and started to exchange, really just doing readings for each other and learning. I was learning the tarot and astrology by reading with Denise. And then we figured out that reading together was more interesting than reading alone. And we started to make experiments. First at PAF, we started to take people and were there as guinea pigs and trying to do readings.
I think the first thing we came up with was the question. And the question was how to image ethics with and without the subject, the modern subject. And as we were doing readings, we also realize that we read in a particular way.
Okay. Well, the setup of the experiment was, first of all, to mix different layers, so to use different tools every time we have a reading. So one could be a tarot reading, but then do also a Reiki reading, or look at the astrology for a specific event. So to use more than one tool every time we read. So and being more than one reader, of course. So these were already the two premises when we started to, what happens if we do that? And then as we experimented, we figured out that the subject always came back, because as we talk to people, then it's fundamentally about, what do I do with this? Help.
Right.
And so we tried to devise ways to deviate the subject. So first of all, we formulated this question as our question, how to image ethics with/out the subject. And then we tried to ask people to tell us about their concerns and their issues they want to read about, but we tried to formulate a question that was larger than or more abstract or figuring out whatever, let's say, the ethical dimension of the question they were asking for, so that then we could read for the question.
And the question basically has remained the same and is going to remain throughout this project, in which you finish a set of tarot cards.
Yes, basically, I think this deck is the beginning of an answer, of the possibility for an answer for the question. Because the way we are designing it, it already decenters the eye, the subject. That's all I can say. It totally decenters the eye, while at the same time recognizing, acknowledging that it's that a person comes to a reading because of a crisis of some kind of social, personal, something unravels, and they come with pain. So the deck kind of gets to the pain and stays there, right? Mm-hmm. But not as, should I say more? Individual pain, but as a general pain.
So, but the subjects you invite, in a way, they all come with a certain pain, even though it happens in the reading that emerges. It's not like you're working with a specific type of person with whom you read.
Yeah.
We all have a pain.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But the deck highlights is the commonality of that pain. That's what the readings did before.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because the question stays the same. You know, so the autoimagenetics without the subject, it's the kind of permeating question. It goes through all the iteration and the modification that the practice has ever experienced. So we began with that, with the poetical reading. So by reading with different tools for a political question, let's say, or for a general question. And that was very much an intellectual exercise. We were basically producing a very complex image through the different tools about the question that was proposed, and we were using it to think together. So to be able to have a conversation about an issue while holding that complexity. As we did those readings, we realized that what was nice was the sociality that reading together implied. So we started to do the sensing salons in which we were teaching other people how to read.
Oh, that was something before, because the sociality meant that even though you come with your question, by the time we finish reading the question dissipates, you forget the pain and the question, they separate in the process. And because the reading becomes a collective one. And one of the things that we emphasize is that when we read with any deck, we are reading with others who have read before. Because any practice, tarot, you learn from people who practiced and they write about it.
Yeah.
So that was the focus, right? That's why, you know, the sociality for the sensing salon was just like the embodiment of something.
A sociality that was already embedded in all those tools, because you learn them from somewhere and there are interpretation and already meaning attached to every symbol, to every planet, to every... So, every time you're reading, you read with all of that and all of those people that have read before you. And all the readings you ever done yourself before. Mm-hmm. And all the story of every single person. So that sociality became then embodied in the sensing salon when we started to do more longer gatherings where we taught people how to basics, how to read, and how we approach reading astrology, tarot, initiating everybody to Reiki, and then doing study groups, mixing those tools to do collective exercise. And then when the pandemic hit a few years later, then we also started to do individual readings because the individual pain kind of came back.
So people came to us asking for readings, friends.
And I think this one continues from that point because if at the beginning, you know, the intellectual exercise allowed us to separate the question and the pain so that we could have an intellectual speculation on what was going on, now through these poems and through this deck, the pain is back. The necessity to feel that pain and to bring together the thinking and the feeling of this pain is something that's happening today.
So you're sitting here and on the table in front of us is kind of a schematic as well as a longer kind of list of descriptions. This is, I imagine, a way of finding an image for a certain card. Could you walk me through it, how it works, so that I kind of understand your process of thinking of that image?
Okay, so here we have one of the major arcana, the magician. And as we, so maybe we should tell the story about how we came to this point.
Yeah.
So it was back beginning of 2018.
19.
Was beginning of 19? I think it was 18.
And then, oh my God.
Yeah, it's been 4 years, more, almost 5 years. Wow. A friend of ours.
Jason Dodge.
Uh-huh.
He sent an email to both of us, like, I met this poet, Ayo Gawa, and looking at her poems, and I think it has everything to do with the work you do with the tarot.
Yeah.
And we bought the... No, he sent us the book. He sent us the collected poems of Ai. And we read the poems, and we just like, wow, yes, so let's do a...
Yeah, I think we did a tarot reading to understand why does this feel so important and what do we need to do. And I remember from the reading, we're like, oh my God, this is our old tarot deck. Uh-huh. And so we decided we have to make pairings between 78 poems and 78 cards. And we did, so for each card, for each of the 78 cards of a tarot deck, we paired them with the poem, we did a tarot reading asking how to read this card, and then we did a Reiki reading, so we adapted the Reiki treatment, but asking question to the card and kind of taking notes of any images or...
Yeah.
Always keeping the question how to read this card in this deck. So we took notes of this is the Reiki, one part is the notes of the... how we read the tarot, and we kept doing it for 78.
So this stack times. Here is for all the poems?
This is for the major arcana, and then this one are all the threes, all the, you know, all the aces, all the twos. These are a condensation of the all the threes. The major arcanas are arcanas, they're secrets, they're mysteries.
And these were also paired with a poem?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Each of them were paired with a poem. So for each card, we did this process, but we have these kinds of notes only for the major arcanas.
Yeah.
I mean, we have them recorded and we have them digitally, like the digital notes, the image, the poems, and the Reiki results. But now we're trying to condense all the... It's a lot of information.
Yes. Yes. How long does it take to do one card? It depends, I guess.
It depends,
but...
yes. It's... many hours for this one.
Many
hours. Because we go back. So now, for instance, we're doing readings for the major arcana during the residency. So we have 22 artists, and we are doing readings for them. And those readings will give us a key to one particular major arcana that we only learn which one is as we are doing the readings.
We don't invite people expecting, okay, can you come and be the magician? No, we just invite you out of, we know it makes sense. We have an intuition about that. And then we just do a reading. But as you come with whatever concern or things that are happening in this moment, we realize, oh, that is the magician. That could be a question for the magician. So we do a reading for you, but it's at the same time also reading for...
I see. Yeah, yeah.
And out of this process, we will create the images.
Yeah,
those 22 readings we're doing now.
And how did you configure those 22? Or perhaps that's still growing as you are here. Who comes in for readings?
We thought of people.
You did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like we have read for them. Most of
always
them
one
we've
person.
Known.
Sorry, mm-hmm. It's always one person.
One person for each.
Yeah.
But we don't know which one. it's funny, isn't it? Because we are learning things as they happen.
For example, when we applied, many of the people we have been reading with and for, they're in New York, or they've been New York-based artists and friends. So what we initially thought when we applied is that, oh, we're going to do study group and we're going to do readings with people just as a test reading.
Yeah.
But then by the time we arrived here, through other processes, it became clear that it's like, oh no, we have to read for 22 women artists. And so then it became, okay, let's invite 22 people that we know, and that it's a very, you know, it's not such an easy process to explain. Mm-hmm. You know, it's much easier to do than when you talk about it.
Yeah.
So I think it was important that it's people that more or less know what's going on.
Right.
It's also very, you know, private. You come with your question.
Yeah. So it seems that there really is a system in place. But here, perhaps with the readings, with the people who come, you said a lot of things happen. I wonder if one reading really shapes the following one. You know, how cards flow kind of into each other in that sense.
Well, so far what we realize, well, yeah, just the obvious things, because we have read for, what, 8 people? So we know that, you know, the ones coming are the cards we haven't read for yet.
Right,
so
yes.
That's one thing. And then if you take the Major Arcana, they kind of, you have groupings.
And how are you taking notes on your process now?
So I'm taking notes.
Valentina is the one who takes notes.
Yeah.
I make the maps. You know, I put the question and then I make the notes of all the, you know, all the cards that came up and then how we read them. And then afterwards I take small notes. We also devised a kind of grammar to take notes because there's a way of reading those positions. So for example, this position is what is manifested. This is what is expressed. So we can say that the hangman manifests this and is expressed like this. You know, so there is a kind of construction of a sentence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I try to write short, rather relatively short notes that keep the same grammar.
And this way of reading that Valentina was describing is something that we devised, which is we created it as we are working on this title. Deck.
On so the
it's
eye
not,
one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, the usual Celtic cross positions, but we actually divided it into 4 and we can construct, describe the relationships in a different way.
And you knew this from the beginning that you weren't going to use the Celtic cross, like you were looking for configurations that would make work for you?
No. I mean, this is still also the Celtic cross because this is the positions of the Celtic cross.
But we read it differently. It is as if we added a layer.
Uh-huh.
So in addition to reading, you know, the positions as they are traditionally, we have another map of the read of the position that we superimpose.
Yeah.
And that allows to make the connections that Valentina was saying. So we basically, we can write a couple of sentences from the relationships, which are spatial. So
we hope to finish the interpretations for the Major Arcana, so to complete the 22 readings and to complete the sentences about them. Because, of course, every time, you know, today we read for the world.
Yes.
So whatever definition we had for the world is going to be inflected and changed by the reading we had. Mm-hmm. So we read, write, reread, rewrite. So there is this process. So I think if we are able to finish the 22...
We will, right?
Residency would be amazing. And then we would have elements of the image, kind of images comes through the readings, through the Reiki. And then we will have to, the next step is going to be how to draw these images and then write the interpretations, longer interpretation, explanation for each card and an introductory text, and then make a booklet and a tarot deck for circulation, public circulation.
So by the end of our time here, we will have finished like this. The Major Arcana, and we'll have completed these, the minor Arcana.
I wonder to what degree working here, doing the reading series differently. For example, I was impressed that you're doing 22 readings in 3 months. It's very hard to schedule people, say, around here, so... Maybe there's a notion of time that is different here as well when you do your readings. And I also feel maybe over here I mean, I know we all are in touch with people who are all over, but perhaps there is a different sensibility vis-a-vis, say, tarot or Reiki over here. Maybe it's more commercial. I don't know. I'm just curious to hear how you're feeling all of these questions, the contextual ones.
Well, it's biased because we are reading for friends. We're based in New York.
Yeah.
So that we have known for a while now. So, yeah, we go have, you know, dinner with them. And then, so we do readings with them.
Yeah.
So with Camila, when we did the first one, which the gave fool. Us the key, the Fool, we, Camila Marambio is doing, she's a curator from Chile. Mm-hmm. And she's doing some work with MoMA on five South American artists. And one of them is Ligia Clark. And a few months ago, Camila wanted to do something around Ligia Clark with us. You know, let's do something.
Yeah.
And then since we're coming, she thought, okay, so we can go to the MoMA and sit there and look at the work and, you know, do. And we did. We spent an hour before they opened the museum. We had access. We sat in front of one of Ligia Clark's pieces, and we did a tarot reading for Camila and Ligia Clark.
Okay.
And that was how it started, actually.
Yeah.
And given that the piece she chose was Cocoon Number 2, mm-hmm. which Camila explained to us was a transition piece from the abstract to the relational object. And we began talking about transition and as a kind of metamorphosis. And we talked about, oh, that's how we began reading The Fool. So it was clear that the reading we were doing for Camila and for Ligia was a reading for the card of The Fool. And that's how we figured out we need to do this for every single major arcana.
So that goes to your question about context.
Mm.
It wouldn't have been this way had we not been here.
You're
because
right.
that changed the whole thing.
Yeah.
That from there, we thought, oh, we will invite 21 others and we'll do readings for them.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I mean, this way the deck is very much a New Yorker.
Yes, very true. It's a very specific part of New York too.
Yeah.
So I also wonder to what degree being together here for a longer time might influence your work too. It seems that you go through phases of intensity being together, and then maybe when you're further away, you work on the notes. I'm kind of curious of these ebbs and flows between you. Mm-hmm. And that also leads me to the question of what do you understand as research? Because there is a lot of active reading with people that happens, but is there also other research that comes in? I mean, I know you're an academic and there's mm-hmm. there's many other practices also that you're involved with, Valentina. So give us a sense of that other layer around mm-hmm. it.
Well, I can speak to the time. So I moved to Canada almost 8 years ago. That meant that we only see each other like for a short period of time, maybe maximum, what? I think during the pandemic, we were lucky because Valentina was in Vancouver for a long time, uh-huh. 3 months. Yeah, they got stuck there, she and her boyfriend. So we could work. So, and then we did most of the work via Zoom, or before Skype and then Zoom. After the pandemic, it became Zoom. So being here at the same time, it's fantastic because actually we have the time that we sit, you know, here or in my place or in her place to do this. But then we also have the time where we're just walking and talking about the work. And yeah, just having these different moments in which we can think, do the work, think about what we have done and come back and but in terms of you're asking about research, but these so the readings we are doing, we are mm-hmm. doing with these blanks, right? So we
these
have,
are just blank cards that have the name of the card written
and
on it.
And the numbers.
Yeah.
So as we're reading for people, we, like, the images are not there.
Yeah.
but we are doing readings. So everything that we know, that we have read, all the different decks, they all come into this reading, precisely because it's not, you know, it's not given to us. It's given, we have the question, and we have the, you know, and we have the pieces of paper. So in a way, the research we have done is now coming back in the building of this deck as research, while, you know, like, okay, our practice, our previous practice, mm-hmm. now come to the creation of this deck as research materials.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah. Because so everything that you something. Have, your experience, your research, everything in a way that you are archiving yeah. comes in it.
Comes
even
in
like
it.
Your bodily experiences and sensations and whatnot.
No, this is yeah. a very impressive process. So iterative.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, it's a little bit like life. Yes. Everything you do influences everything else mm-hmm. to such an incredible degree. Mm-hmm. So
it's also a different rendering of creativity that yeah. it's not up to you. So that's the removal of the subject also in the process of
yeah.
making
yeah.
it. Not
or
just
having some kind of stated yeah. goal of something. Yeah. Yes.
No, we are moving with where the poems have taken us, and each reading takes us somewhere else, and we just respond. Even the emotional process, because
yeah.
during the in 2020, people came to us asking for readings. And then I think it was this year we realized that things happened in our lives separately that prepared us to do the next step.
Huh.
We could understand
yeah.
now why, you know, why something, why to make some move. Yeah, everything.
So, yeah, in a way, it also reflects back onto you then.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a process, you know, like it comes through and we also have to live through this.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah.
So you've explained me your process and what you're doing here at the residency. There's one question that I always ask people is whether you have questions for Amant. In a way, I want this conversation to come cycle through as well, so that there is kind of something that we learn through these. So I wonder if there's anything.
Well, I'm curious about how beyond, you know, beyond what's in the website and other, probably other written things we haven't seen yet, how this residency came about, you know, primarily because of, you know, the welcoming of process. How it comes about in terms of what is the expectations from your point of view, not from the artist, but from
the
foundation.
Yeah.
What
the expectations? I think they're. It's hard to say, no, because we are interested in supporting research, helping people do that research in whatever form it takes. So that means that we don't need objects or show objects, but in a way, at least from my perspective, it's really thinking of what kind of conversation we can have, and mm-hmm. not only while you're here, but later on too, because even if you are across the street and you may see us less than you think, there is a crossfeed mm-hmm. that happens. So that's, I think, one of the kind of expectations or unconscious kind of motivations
mm-hmm.
to have that. And then secondly, I think there is already so much emphasis around us on seeing things and showing, exhibiting, and by that I mean finished objects that then mm-hmm. circulate in a market. And this is kind of to not participate in that kind of circulation. Mm-hmm. And that's also why we are still trying to figure out how the residency relates or informs an exhibition program, because in that program, we obviously have an exhibition space in which there are objects shown. No? Mm-hmm. So how can we further think of the cross lines between them without mm-hmm. making it all about seeing objects? Mm-hmm. Like how can we live with more research in that sense, something that is in, you know, in the making. So that's where it is. And I think the residency was or is an original point of a starting point for this whole thing. There are a lot of studios around here, so it kind of is part of an ecosystem that already exists. Mm. So, but yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because of the nature of this process, you have other people involved in what's happening here, right? Even if you don't know who they are indirectly. In terms of the readings we're doing, that we're doing readings for people who are, you know, in a way, part of this conversation.
Yes.
When we do our public events, it will be reflected in
I mean, I think it's also, how do you make these other people visible? Or that's all part of how you will mediate. Yeah, very much so. And so to get back just to the deck that you're making here, the idea is actually to finish this deck, right? When you are... just as I'm saying, we are not interested in the finished objects. I'm asking about the but just to understand kind of the arc of your stay here.
Yeah, so we'll have we will not have the images, the final images for the cards, but instead of a blank, we'll have. Do we have that one? We have something like this. We're looking at blank tarot cards with handwritten short definitions, which were these we did, when did we do? Like a year ago.
Oh.
Yeah, for the major arcana. Those are the major arcana. So this is going to change because we are doing all this new reading. So we'll have these like printed out.
And these are the sentences that you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
We'll come up with the shorter sentences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have these for all 78 cards, basically.
Right.
And then we will need to work more to do the images.
So yes.
It's still a relatively long process, but it's coming to realization.
And then you would use those cards in future sensing salons.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So the first draft of the cards we are going to use at the Singapore Biennial in March, right? We have an installation and we'll do the activation with a card, which will be something like this, right? I mean, it's not going to be finished up.
Yeah.
And yeah, so the plan is to do the deck and the book.
Wow, excellent. We definitely have to get some here.
Yeah.
Practice. Wow. Well, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find images of the Echo Tarot deck and poems by I, as well as a transcript of this conversation, on our website. In our next episode, I talk with Ayo. Meet the Residents theme music is composed by Silas Edgar, who also recorded the conversations. Sound editing and engineering is by Isaac Silver. And a final thank you to our residents for letting us into their studios, their process, and for finding time in their tight schedules.